Welcome to another episode of You Had to Be There, the podcast where we deep dive into the world of the music industry. I'm your host, Julia Gomberg. This week, I am joined by Jack Cash, frontman of the alt-goth rock band Vesper Rose. Jack is an impressively seasoned musician with a creative edge for musical themes of punk, goth, horror, and metal. He considers himself to be a fairly negative person, but I found his perseverance and passion for music to be super uplifting and inspiring with a side of grim. He shares his experiences throughout the years, from moving to LA to all the ups and downs in between that have shaped his career into what it is today. Be sure to check out Jack's curated playlist alongside this episode, as well as Vesper Rose's new single, Autumn Leaves, which you can find in the episode show notes. Thank you so much for listening, and be sure to follow along on Instagram at YouHadToBeTherePod. I will catch you next time.
Hello, I'm Jack Cash, and I'm the singer guitar player for Vesper Rose.
Yeah, I'm really excited to sort of hear how you came to be, but it's awesome to chat. I know that you guys released a single in January, so I kind of want to get into that and talk about, you know, your career in the band, but I also kind of want to go all the way back. Can you talk a little bit about, yeah, like what your relationship with music was like growing up?
Growing up, I guess my earliest memory of music would probably be from my father just riding in his pickup truck. He was always been into like, he's always been pretty eclectic as far as music goes, from like Eric Clapton to like The Cure, the Violent Femmes and the Ramones. And it wasn't really until 11 when I started playing guitar that, you know, I was like, I'm going to play in a punk band. And he's like, then you have to listen to the Ramones and like Social Distortion and like The Clash. But then also this is hardcore. And then this, like, you know, and he doesn't play music, but he's just always been really like just into all things, you know, music. So a lot of this early stuff is kind of from my father and just sort of like introducing me to like the little genres. And like, if you like, you know, Guns N' Roses, then you have to listen to the New York Dolls, and they were influenced by the Rolling Stones and, you know, stuff like that.
That's an amazing resource to have when you're that young too, because I think it kind of shows just like how much music is out there at such a young age that it can be really, really influential, I'm sure.
Yeah.
So did you always want to play guitar, or how did you decide on that instrument specifically?
I guess, yeah, I've always wanted to play guitar. There was a time when I wanted to play bass because I was really into MXPX when I was younger, but we always had already had a bass player, so I ended up playing guitar.
Do you play bass at all?
I still play bass. Do a little piano, a little bit of everything minus like the drums. I'm definitely not a drummer.
Yeah, that's fair.
I used to drum a little bit, but I'm mostly guitar and bass.
Yeah, that's really cool. And so like you kind of talked about like who your dad showed you as you were growing up, but like, yeah, who stood out to you in terms of like influences to shape your musical style?
The earliest, I think I've had like little eras of my music career, or as far as playing and influences, I think the earliest ones would be when I was playing would be like MXPX and Social Distortion. And I think Alkaline Trio was big at that time. And you know, the Smashing Pumpkins.
Right.
I say Smashing Pumpkins because when I was younger, like, I think James Iha was the only, like, really, like, focal, like, cool Asian dude playing guitar. So for me being, like, half Korean, I was like, oh, I love the Smashing Pumpkins. Definitely Smashing Pumpkins. And still, I love the Smashing Pumpkins.
It's funny you say that because, yeah, even listening to the single, I don't know, that weirdly was a band that came to my mind, like, in terms of just, like, the power and emotion of the song, but also kind of having, maybe it's just the genre, I don't know, it kind of just like clicked to me when I was listening to it a little bit, I could hear a little Smashing Pumpkins.
Okay, I will take that, and I appreciate that. That's nice to hear.
Yeah, I really liked it, and I'm excited to talk a little bit more about it. Vocal wise, when did you get into singing?
I've always been a singer, usually backup singer. As I said, like when I was 11, I started playing guitar. And then by like 12 or 13, I joined a band and everyone was like 18, 19. So I was always, because I was younger, I always had to sing the higher, like backup vocals, like my early 20s, I started really singing as a lead singer. Mm-hmm. And one of the bands, or that band I was in when I was like a younger, like teenager, the singer was always like, you're a good songwriter, but like, you're not a good singer. So I've always thought forever that I just wasn't really a good singer. Mm. Until I moved to Los Angeles, and then people were like, well, I don't know why you don't sing. I'm like, 'cause I'm not good. And they're like, you should sing.
That's so interesting how those things can like stick with you so long. And then it kind of like turns into that narrative, but I'm glad you got gaslit out of it.
Yeah, I guess.
And where did you grow up?
I grew up in Winchester, Virginia.
Oh, okay. When did you make the move to LA?
I thought 2006.
Okay. So you've been there for a minute. Yeah.
Yeah.
And what were your thoughts about it? Like, did you move there specifically for music, or were you kind of just like ready to try something different?
A little bit of both. I was in short, like basically right after high school, I moved to Kansas City and was in a band for about a year or two, and things just weren't happening and no one seemed to take it as seriously as I did. And I've always wanted to either go to New York or LA. And I had a friend who's like, you know, why don't you just visit LA and see what you think? And I came out for like 2 weeks and then decided to just make the move, like wow. Basically quit my job and just kind of like your typical LA story. Like I had like, I don't know, $900 and I rented a room and I just had a guitar and a suitcase.
That's amazing though. I mean, you're still there. So clearly it worked out despite.
I remember, that's funny. I haven't thought about when I first moved here, I remember just being on the plane and I don't even think I had a suitcase. I had like a trash bag.
And, oh my gosh.
And just, I remember just queuing up like Appetite for Destruction, like walking to the jungle.
That's just amazing. Kind of being
like, we're in Los Angeles.
It's like a real movie in real life.
Yeah,
no, that's so cool. And I guess like, so it sounds like bands were something you were always just innately kind of interested in. Is that true, or did you ever have interest in like being solo?
Not really. I always liked I guess when I was first playing music, I kind of grew up in the sort of more punk rock scene, or that like that mentality, right. And I think also being a teenager in like Winchester, Virginia, where it's a predominantly, you know, conservative Christian value, redneck, small town mind kind of thing. And then being like, you know, half Korean, and then getting tattoos and getting into that scene where like, I remember my high school was like, I don't even think there were any punk rock kids. I think the goth kids kind of let me hang out with them because I wasn't goth enough because I didn't wear black really at that point. I feel music and being a preteen and sort of having this sort of rebellious sort of, not even rebellion, because I grew up in church and I was like, I'm a good kid, but I like punk rock and I like tattoos. Mm. And just, I sort of just had this like, whirlwind of like negativity, and though I'm just trying to like play music and feel good and like find myself whatever,
in this
scene or just in life really, I think helped prompt the move to get in Los Angeles. So landing in Los Angeles, I was like, wow, there's like different types of people.
Right. Yeah.
Like people think I look cool.
That's when you know you came to the right place. Yeah.
Like, yeah. And I was like, I love that struggle or part of my life though. 'Cause it's stuff to write about, and it's, you know, now it's like, I of course enjoy living out here, but I enjoyed growing up in that sort of like easygoing, structured life. Right. So I could have something to rebel against, because otherwise I'd be there and I'd be bored probably.
That's a unique and inspiring mentality to have. I think when people feel like, you know, they escape their hometowns, there's like this layer of resentment that they feel where they maybe felt like an outlier. But I like that you kind of weaponized it in a way to really give yourself confidence in like getting to a new place and like embracing it. And it sounds like it's really part of your story as opposed to something you want to like just kind of forget about.
I mean, I try to. I think I'm a pretty fairly negative person. Okay. So I think I need to like trying to find a way out or find like the silver lining in something.
Yeah.
Because you easy to get, you know, especially if you're writing like darker, heavier music, it's easy. It's like, it's okay that there's this part of you or these things that happen, but to just sulk in it and not find a way out of it, or just, you know, appreciate the present, then it's, you're kind of doing a disservice to yourself, or you're kind of like, you're letting them win, so to speak.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's really interesting. So in terms of like, yeah, themes of your music and things like that, when did you start writing songs, I guess, is a good starting point to ask.
Oh, probably since I could like play, basically. I was always curious, like, how do you write a song? Or, you know, because I'm not a schooled musician, I've always played by ear, so like everything was kind of like, oh, this song is like smells like Teen Spirit, or this song, these are like the happy Blitzkrieg bop chords. So right. Like, and then I'm like, all of these songs are written with these same three chords. I'm like, so I should write a song with these chords, because this
you cracked the code.
Yeah, you know, so because when you're like sort of an outcast, so to speak, you know, you spend all this time in your room, it's like, oh, I figured it out, or I learned, you know, I mean, I'm still figuring out stuff on guitar. I'm like, sweet. Like,
yeah, I'm sure. As a piano player, I'm very impressed by guitar players, because it's just something I like. I feel like piano I can pick up by ear a little bit, but guitar, it just feels like there's endless chords that you can figure out and frets, and it's like a whole world.
Yes. Our bass player, Gecko, he's a great player, but he also understands theory. So he'll, this is like Mixolydian, and then you go to like a major thing here, and I'm like, whoa. So you like it or you don't like it? Because
right, like, just tell it to me straight.
Yeah.
That's really funny. But that's amazing. So like songwriting, yeah, I can totally see how that being like in your room and just like, you know, feeling your feelings at like a young angsty age that we all have felt, you know, that's amazing that you kind of had that outlet to be able to start writing songs. Did you have the intention of wanting, I guess, like you said, you were in a band early on, but like when you were writing these songs, did you ever think like they would see the light of day, or was it more something for yourself?
I think I always wanted them to see the light of day. I think, like I said, when I was just like, wasn't really a cool kid in like high school. And I think playing with older people, like I don't even know why my parents let me play in bands with these people, but you know, that we were playing in bars. So when you're like 13,
wow,
and you're like 14, and you're just kind of like, you're not cool in school, but then you play a bar and then people just kind of don't care.
Yeah.
And you're getting like, you know, an applause or whatever. And I'm like, okay, like, so like, fuck school. Like, I should just be playing music. And, you know, like, this is, and I don't know, just ever since then, it's like, this is what I want to do. And I kind of haven't strayed from that. I love playing shows. And I think as far as the writing goes, like, I couldn't get a date in high school, so I would write fake songs about being in
love. That's relatable.
And write about being heartbroken when nobody broke my heart. I just couldn't even get a
girl. That resonates for me in terms of like the music I listened to back then, because it was like I couldn't quite write that myself, but I sought out music that represented those feelings for me, I think.
And I think I bring up MXPX a lot because they were really sort of just, you know, it was like pop punk, and but everything was about like girls and brokenhearted stuff. Plus they were all like 17, so like that also screwed me up when I was younger and playing music. I'm like, I MXPX, they all got signed when they were 17. Like, I need to, like, I'm gonna be 17 soon. Like, I need to.
Yeah, it's like a lot of pressure, but it sounds motivating too to be put in that kind of a arena of like, yeah, just people that you're not, you know, stuck at school with. And I would imagine it had to be pretty motivating to see people that you're kind of, even though maybe you felt behind in moments, like it kept you motivated to try to keep up in that sense.
No, exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. That's really cool. And so from that band, what ended up happening next?
I was really into a band called Squad 50, and they also kind of grew up, were sort of like a punk ska kind of band. Mm-hmm. And started playing more rock and roll stuff, and that kind of like opened the door to like Guns N' Roses and more like Social Distortion and the Misfits. Mm-hmm. And just as far as being a guitar player, and then I kind of, and maybe also just moving to Los Angeles in my 20s, like it was sort of like everything I was writing was a little more like Velvet Revolver and GNR, like more rock and roll and less like punk stuff, so to speak.
And did you see, like, did you go to a lot of shows when you first got to LA? Like,
oh yeah, I remember, well, at the time, with 2006, so there was like the Cat Club and the Viper Room still has shows, mm-hmm. the Key Club. So there was a lot more music going on just in the, on the strip itself, where you could just kind of pop into clubs and just catch a bunch of bands at once, right. before you started getting rid of venues and putting up hotel rooms.
Sad.
Yeah. So then I would just kind of like sort of float around in the rock scene for a little bit. Yeah. And then I kind of just, but really Vesperos is kind of like a marrying of just like stuff I grew up listening to. And then a little bit more of like the modern stuff that I'm listening to now.
Yeah. I'm not super familiar with like the LA music scene, especially like earlier on. How would you describe those venues? Like, just more small scale and DIY?
I mean, some of them are like House of Blues was also still open at the time. So like some House of Blues style things. Right. I definitely had a little, like a wave of more 80s stuff just because it was the strip, and there still is a pretty big like 80s glam scene.
Right.
But even within like the rock scene, I've always felt, well, even in the punk scene, I think I got out of sort of more punk rock stuff because I almost feel like punk rock or even genres with music, sometimes people treat it like it's church. Like it has to be this way or you're excommunicated. Mm-hmm. And, you know, so, and I think just growing up, like I said, with the Smashing Pumpkins and liking punk rock or MXPX being too pop punk for rancid punk rockers, and just being younger and in church and being told you can't do things. And I'm like, everything and everyone is telling me what to do. I don't really like any of it. Like, so I think all of these things have kind of pushed me into being like, I like a little bit of this, a little bit of that, and yeah. I like this and a little bit of that. And that's okay.
Yeah.
And I don't have to fight about it, you know? Like, that's for me.
Yeah, that must be so like liberating to just allow yourself to just embrace like everything that you like, and it's not black and white. And I think especially in that type of world of music, like there's so many subgenres that like you can discover and really figure out what works and what doesn't work for you, but there is never like a linear direction of like how you end up finding your sound. I think
things are a lot more liberal and people are more open,
yeah,
to, like genre bending with things.
Which is interesting. I guess that just happens over time, but I wonder what kind of catapulted that, if people just, more and more people came, transplants came in and kind of switched it up.
I mean, I think even as far as active rock goes, I think the reason why I've been a little happier going into more of my like punk rock roots, even active rock now, I feel like it's sort of, you kind of have to have this sort of evanescence, like, drop the like Nickelback kind of thing, or like won't be tolerated. And if it's not like that, then it's like it's a little too 80s. Mm-hmm. And so really with Vesperos, we're just kind of like, let's just write, we like these bands, we like this sound, and we're just going to go with this. And you know, maybe if people don't like it right now, that's a good thing.
Right.
Because you know, you hear something and I've gone through this before when you're writing and it's like, I like this song, but like we need like a hit that's kind of like this, so it gets played in this because this is big. And then you're just sort of like chasing this, the tail end of something that someone's already done, that everyone else is doing. And now you, and then you're like, why are we doing this?
Like, right. Like you kind of lose the plot after a while. It's like,
yeah, I'm like, bro, this isn't even fun now. Like,
right. Yeah, that's really interesting to think about it that way. I think that's really true. So when did you form Vesperos?
Vesperos was formed just like the summer of last year.
What inspired it to happen? What brought it together?
Basically, I was just playing in too many bands. Mm-hmm. So I was in a band called Downtown Attraction. I would say like 2012 era. Mm-hmm. we were working with Mike Klink, who did like all the Guns N' Roses stuff, and we were super stoked. Basically, that the label that we were on that got us Mike Klink went bankrupt. So the record never came out. We spent and as a band, like when you're in your early 20s, we're just kind of like, oh, this is it. Like we're working with so and so and on like Guns N' Roses. And we sort of just rested on our laurels, and then we were stuck in a deal. Even though they went bankrupt for like 4 years, we couldn't release music. And that kind of, you know, just we're just stagnant, and I was miserable. And I was also like, I got sober when I was 23. So I remember just kind of relapsing after that for like a year. And I got sober again. I started playing in, I was in a band called The Misfits. I started with a friend. That was just going to be a Halloween joke. We did like Misfits and Half Smith songs.
Oh my God.
And we played a Halloween show and it went really well. And then people just wanted to book it. So that was fun. And then I tried to be a solo artist. So I released something under, it's called Jack Cash in the Long Haul. And then I've been playing guitar in a band called Bullets and Octane. This is also over the span of like the past, like maybe 5 or 6 years I've been doing all this. And I just got tired of just like, you know, like I have two kids now and I'm playing in so many bands and I'm just sort of spread thin. And, you know, certain bands, people, places, you know, you kind of outgrow or they outgrow you. I just need one project where I can do everything that I want to do. And that's basically what Vesperos has become. It's a little bit of horror and a little bit of the rock and a little bit of, you know, like I said, I kind of get to throw my Smashing Pumpkins into punk rock.
Yeah. That's a long journey. I mean,
I'm sorry for the long-winded answers. They're just...
No, this is the point of the interview. No, this is great. You're doing more than I expect in a good way.
This is like the fourth interview I've done. And everyone else in the band is getting off like so easy. They're like, you're just a great interviewer, Jack. I'm like, we're all introverted. And I know we play music on stage, but like we're all super introverted. And I'm just the most extroverted out of
the introverts. That's exactly how I am. Yeah.
Like after shows, I'm like, I want to, obviously you say thank you, but I really just want to get pizza and go home. Like I did the spirit fingers. And I shook my ass, like good nights.
Right. You did everything you needed to do. And now, time for pizza and no one talked to me. I completely get that. That actually kind of ties into my next question. And I mean, you gave a great answer before, but what is your relationship with like performing? Like, I mean, obviously if you've played in so many bands, like what is it like for you when you get on stage? Do you find like you gain a level of energy that helps you through it? Or like, what's the appeal?
I think, I don't know, it's the same energy I got from like when I was a kid. I think that's why like you see a lot of musicians kind of like have a sort of younger aura about them, because it is, you know, maybe it's just like the music, the electricity, the noise. It's like, this is my outlet. This is where, I don't want to say this is my time to shine. It's not necessarily like I need to be seen, but it's kind of like everything that I've been thinking about, whether it's life or like this song means more to me than another song, but it's just kind of like, this is your, like, I guess in a sense, like the bird getting set free. It's just like, it's the most freeing sort of, it's crazy. Like the whole show, going to rehearsal, getting everything ready, doing sound check, running around. I just realized that I brought the wrong pedal board kind of thing. Right. All of this is nuts. And you're just like, fuck it. And then, you know, even if the band's fighting, like we can have a terrible band fight or whatever, but if there's like, once I hear like the 1, 2, 3, 4, it's like a Ramones song. I'm like, we're playing. I don't give a fuck what's going on. We'll yell at each other later. Like, you know, this is, some crowds like give you a little more. I'm like, okay, like we can be a little more crazy. But in general, I try to put on the show that I've always wanted to see. Like I kind of gauge shows by, obviously you want the crowd to like applaud and like have a good time, but like if the bar back or the door guy is like, wow, you guys were great, like I hope you come back or something, like that's kind of like my gauge. I'm like, oh, because they see people every day. So if someone who's working the bar or the door is like, bro, I really hope you guys come back, I think that means something. And I really more than just someone just drunk up front, be like, that was fucking great, bro. Yeah, like, hey, yeah. Brother.
That's so, I love that though. I think that you're so right. I used to work at a venue and like stand in the photo pit. Whenever I'd see the really bored security guard take out his headphones to listen to the band that was on the stage, that's when I was like, they're doing something right. Cause it's true. It's like, that really speaks to the energy that you bring. I think it's more energy than anything else.
Yeah.
I can already just tell from like your single, even when you're not on stage, I think you've really figured out a way to capture that energy and make it really resonate with people, with your listeners. Can you talk a little bit about the single?
So Autumn Leaves was kind of written in basically in a way of just sort of letting go of bands. Like I said, the Miss I started with a friend and kind of turned into a falling out. You know, it's kind of water under the bridge for me now. But I think when, you know, when you play in bands, it's much like a relationship, whether it's with your friends or a spouse. Then you tie in music that you're all like sort of emotionally involved in.
Right.
Autumn Leaves is essentially just like you need to like letting go of something that doesn't, you know, love you back anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And also being like, are you okay with that? I think that's kind of the core of the songs now, because, you know, I'm a little bit older and like I said, when I was talking about growing up and stuff, it's, yeah, there are things that you aren't happy about.
Right.
And you don't have to be happy about it still, but like you need to move on and you need to let go. And like, then that's okay. Because I'm one of those, you know, I don't like quitting things, and like, I don't care if like the wheels have fallen off, then like, we're going to keep going. And that's also a part of my problem too, whether it's pride or you're just flat out stubborn, you know, like you need, it's okay to move on and try something new.
Yeah.
I want a band that is a little goth and a little punk and a little 90s grunge.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I love that. I think, in Autumn Leaves, I do think even just like objectively gives you that feel of like something is, you know, the season is coming to an end and things might be like kind of dying, but then that obviously leaves room for rebirth.
There is some, obviously I put thought into songs, but when we're like talking about it, I'm like, I'm not that deep. I just maybe I'm like, God, is it funny to make fun of like myself? Because I don't want people like, oh, I really love this song, but he's just like such a.
No. I mean, that is not at all how I'm interpreting it. I think you're very real.
Like, I'm not that artsy, but I'm like trying to find the.
I think you're not giving yourself credit. You're doing a really good job explaining it. I think also like when people listen to the song, like it will just give them a little different perspective. And, you know, that's what's amazing about art. It's open to interpretation. They'll have their own opinion about it, regardless of what you're saying. So in terms of the songwriting process, was that fully yours? Did you write it, or was that more of a collaboration?
For Autumn Leaves, it was our drummer and myself, and also we had a different bass player last year, and halfway through recording he just kind of disappeared. Whoa. And we're like, hey bud, like it's day of recording. Sorry, when you ask like, do you play bass? I'm like, I do play bass, because I have to play bass.
Oh, at all times.
One of the last songs, because someone disappeared. And don't worry, he's okay. He's just kind of like a week or two later, like, I just think I don't want to do music anymore. I'm like, that's cool. God. But I took the weekend off and I paid for a recording session.
Oh my gosh.
And then we got Jason, which, and again, this is the reason why, like, you know, things suck in the present and you have to keep pushing on. So we're like, we have shows to book. We have no bass player. So we had to get someone else to play guitar. And I played bass in a couple shows. And then we met Jason, who introduced us to Liz. And now she's getting the interviews and I'm interviewing with you. So
so things work out in mysterious ways.
Yeah, so like, it's okay to be like, fuck. Maybe something better happens, you know.
I think there's just such a misconception from the outside. Even if you are in music, you can look at a band, look at a singer, and just really overassume a really like straightforward trajectory of their careers. But there's so much like beauty in the chaos of it that like can be so unanticipated, but then it ends up being such a narrative in like your story. And yeah, like again, like the bass thing, that's such a unique, it sucked, I'm sure, but it's a unique part of your band story now that you can, that's really one of a kind.
Yeah. To answer your question now about how we song is, I do have like sort of a back catalog of stuff I've written that I didn't necessarily do for the Misfits because it wasn't quite Misfits or the Smiths enough. And so that's kind of like, well, now if I do Vesper Rose, I can write sort of my horror punk gothy stuff.
Yeah.
With Gecko, our new bass player, he's also like, you know, loves Smashing Pumpkins and the Deftones, and definitely adds a little more of a metal element to the band. And like, because he was playing stuff, and I'm like, he kind of sounds like Thrice. He's like, I love Thrice. I'm like, I love Thrice too. We can add that to the mix. A little dash of Thrice to the sound would be nice as well. So now we're finally, I think it's just three of us now. Maybe we'll add another guitar player. Mm-hmm. But it's been a while since I've played in a band where we just go in, someone can play a riff, and then we all just can collectively play along with that riff for like, you know, 10, 15, you know, half the rehearsal. We're like, Okay, I guess we wrote a song. I need to figure out what the lyrics are or bits and pieces. But like, it's been pretty organic lately, which has been, you know, really nice. Or just being able to listen to demos or old songs we have and sort of collaborate that way, where it's just like, I like this chorus and I like this verse. Like, it's been a while since I played with people that are just like, I have a bunch to bring to the table. Now we have to like sift through it versus like, somebody's around a fucking rap.
No, that makes a lot of sense. That's exciting. It sounds like it's, you're in a really good place for what you have under your belt all these years and like
able to kind of make it really your own and figure it out as you go. But it sounds like it's an exciting time for your band. Have you guys played any shows yet?
We've played a couple smaller shows around LA, and we have a bigger show coming up May 31st. It's called Bar Sinister in Los Angeles. It's a pretty, they have a built-in crowd. It's probably the biggest show we've played so far.
Nice.
Starting out. So yeah, we're excited about that.
That is exciting. For people who aren't super familiar with like the goth punk horror kind of themes, like, can you talk a little bit more specifically about like what the horror in it? Like, what does that mean to someone who isn't familiar?
I would say, you know, bands like the Misfits or the Damned, or, you know, I bring up the Damned a lot just because I think they were the first kind of like goth, but they were punk and it was rock and roll. And, you know, it's not like every song is about like blood and guts. I mean, if you look at Gerard Way, like he's basically trying to be Dave Vanian from The Damned, which I love. Mm. Or like The Cramps, it's just anything sort of like moody, horror-themed. Yeah. I mean, I tend to write songs of like we have a song called The Wolfman that's going to be released in then a couple months. And like surface level, yes, it's about a werewolf man, but really it's just about a guy who got caught cheating and then he got cursed by his girlfriend and now he's turned into the Wolfman. And it's, the lyrics are a little more eloquent than that, but that's basically the gist of it.
That's really cool.
The next single is going to be, it's called Bloody Mary.
Mm.
And Bloody Mary is essentially, it was kind of like in my listening of like the Smiths and the Cure, I was like, it's more of like just it's about a guy who's just kind of over it in his relationship and the girl's over it. So he calls on Bloody Mary to just kind of end it. Like, it can't get any worse than this. So
right,
it's kind of funny, even though like we don't, I'm trying to joke about suicide, but it's basically suicide by monsters. So they're all basically like sort of toxic love stories, right, with monster themes. So it's, but it's also in like a major key, so it's like a happy song. Mm. Don't listen to,
but that's what's so cool about music.
No, I do like, as you get older and you listen to songs, you're like, I thought this was about something completely different.
Exactly.
But also, even if you do understand, like fully get like what's going on with the lyrics, it's kind of like you're going through it and I'm going through it and we can get through it together. If we had like a band,
like mission statement.
Almost. Like, that was our mission statement. Like, you know what? It gets bad, but it also gets better. And sometimes it gets worse before it gets better. But, you know, it's just life. And you know, maybe, I don't know, maybe getting sober at like 23.
Yeah.
I had to make a lot of like life decisions. Like, do I want to go to prison or do I want to play music? Do I want to keep getting into toxic relationships that eventually lead me to getting wasted and then getting in trouble? Or maybe I just need to be alone for a couple of years.
Yeah.
And work on Jack's problem.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sorry, no, I'm starting to do like a TED talk now, but yeah, it gets better.
Yeah, I love that. I like the mission statement concept of it because it's a way for people to connect to you, and then they can do, once they feel that connection and hear the songs, they can make their own individual, more personal connections to it. But I think it like is such a universal message that resonates with so many people, no matter what you're into music wise.
No, exactly.
It sounds like you know, you're telling these kind of stories within your songs. Like, do you have to get into a sort of mode? Like, do you feel like you're almost like acting in a way when you perform?
I would say yes. I think certain, like, if I was to tell you a story about something that I got in, like, and I was upset with somebody, or I was dealing with a customer and she pissed me off, like, mm-hmm. I would probably be like just as angry seeming telling the story, because it's just like, it's sort of, sometimes it takes me back. Nothing, I don't think I stay in it as much as I used to, but
that's a good way of putting it though. It's that same like passion, like when you're recounting it, it's like kind of is transferred in the same way.
People are like, see, you're like, you're not over it. I'm like, I am over it. I'm just fucking like, bro, like, don't piss me. I love you, but you're still a pain in the ass.
Yeah. Yeah. You know? Yeah.
I mean, a lot of times I'll watch movies and I'll just be noodling on guitar. And I'm like, maybe I should write a song. Like, I do write some happy stuff, but I mean, it's just
like a way of like interpreting and expressing art, like other people's art, but making it your own. I don't think, it's more interesting when it's a little dark than when it's like a happy, generic pop like song story.
Everything would sound like Bon Jovi or something.
Yeah, exactly.
It's just, it's not me, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Right. It's not your story. What are you hoping for goal wise or just music wise, like for this new chapter for you in your band?
It's funny. We actually just had a little band Zoom meetings. Like, how does everybody feel? So we have a video for Autumn Leaves Done. We're going to be releasing it in June. And then like I said, we have The Wolfman is done. Bloody Mary's done. We'll be focusing on like those two singles the rest of the year. And we just kind of focus on just getting shows so we can, you know, stay fresh for live stuff. Really, yeah, just focus on shows, pushing the next couple singles and kind of seeing, you know, what the crowd responses are. Not really interested in looking for like labels right now, but just kind of getting out there and playing as much as possible. And I mean, maybe if we can open for somebody and get like a weekend tour or something.
Yeah, I could see that for sure. Yeah. Do you have like any resentment towards labels because of what you went through? Or like, do you value in being independent?
I guess my biggest problem with labels are just is, you know, and I've had smaller labels like hit them like, hey, let's like work with your band and we'll sign you. I'm like, well, what does that mean though?
Yeah.
Like, does that mean you have half of the 50 listeners I have on Spotify now or something? Like, does that, are you going to give us tour support? Are you going to find us a booking agent? And usually it's no, and that's okay. If it was like, hey, we want to sign you and we'll print like 500 vinyls for you, I'm like, all right, that's like a deal for something.
Right.
But I don't want to get on a label just to be on a label.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you could get on a major label and they could just shelf you.
Mm-hmm.
I don't really resent labels. I don't understand the point of them unless they're going to do something for you, which is like, and most of the bands are just like, we just want to tour and play shows.
Right.
And like be able to pay rent. You know, if you shelve someone's album and that they're going to have to pay back, but they can't make any money because you've shelved it now and now they can't tour.
Right.
You know, like what's, I don't know what the point is.
Yeah.
You're like, are we waiting for Imagine Dragons to like fail? I'm like, okay, we're going to release these guys. These are going to be the next Imagine Dragons. All right. Let's go.
They will not go away if we're talking about Imagine Dragons specifically, but no, I worked for TuneCore for a while. So I'm more of a proponent of independence and really see the creative control and just the ownership and like pride that you have of like being independent, I think can be really valuable. So I don't disagree with what you're saying. It, you know, there's pros and cons, of course, to all, but it's always interesting to kind of hear perspectives about that.
In general, if you're a band or a newer band, like really just a band needs money. It's not cheap to do a, I mean, you can do things cheaper, but then to be taken seriously, it's like, we need a decent video. Obviously, we have to grow our social media. I know we need to do that. But I'm also a little older, so I'm like, I would rather just post flyers on telephone poles all day. Like, that seems easier than just figuring out the algorithm of
100%.
My bass player and Liz are good at that. So they're going to do that.
Yeah. And yeah. You're like, you're making me do the interviews. You guys do the special.
Yeah. Everyone has a place and a role to take. And this is my new position. Is I do interviews.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. I love that. I wish I had someone doing my social media because it's not, I don't like it.
It's either. Just like, I mean, would we like Johnny Cash if he was on social media? Like, hey guys, like, no, we wouldn't. It wouldn't be the same thing.
Oh my God.
And it's okay.
Yeah. Yeah. It's not a one size fits all.
If I was playing purely pop punk, I would probably be way better at social media.
Mm.
That's just, you know.
I think people are starting to kind of realize that it's not, I mean, for many reasons, but there's a bit of a fatigue, at least that I'm starting to feel about it.
I played shows with bands that have like 100,000 followers and they brought like their girlfriends to the show.
Mm.
And then I've brought 50 to 100 people at a show.
Yeah, wow.
And I'm like, and honestly, I'm fine opening or playing second or third. I don't need to headline and play at midnight.
Right.
But I just think it's funny how like we gauge things purely based on that. Or sometimes people, artists are like really great at social media and they sound good, but they haven't really played a show. And they don't play, they don't sound good because they just don't play live.
Yeah. Yeah. I also like how you mentioned you're okay with not playing at midnight. I'm sure for many reasons.
Yeah. If you move to LA and you book a show and someone's like, do you guys want a headline? And it's like, wow, we're going to headline. No, you say no, because that means you're going to go in at 12:30 and no one's going to be there. And the door guy is not going to thank you. He's going to be like, you guys going to get your shit off the stage.
That's good advice, honestly. A good warning to people who are looking to book gigs. That kind of leads me to one of my last questions I was going to ask. Like, for people who are just starting out in music, whether, you know, they just moved to LA, they just formed their first band, like, is there any universal advice you would give them?
If you're going to play in a band, you know, it is a relationship. You either have to be willing to compromise or not at all and be a solo artist. And don't waste your time, whether it be people, places, or things, you know, whether that's drugs or, you know, leaving a toxic relationship because she's afraid that other girls are going to talk to you at a show. Like, just all of those, you know, components. Like, you know, don't waste your time. Life is short. Enjoy it. Or stay in that toxic relationship long enough to get some good songs out of it and then go.
There you go. Yeah.
Life is short. Don't waste your time on people. And it's easy to do that, especially if you're in LA. Everything is kind of on 12:30 really means like 1:45.
Yeah.
And you're from the East Coast, like it's going to be hard for you.
Yeah. As a New Yorker, that's so triggering.
Oh, where are you from in New York?
I live in Brooklyn.
How do you feel about like the scene in New York as far as music goes?
Yeah, I would say Brooklyn has a bit more of a smaller scene that I like you can just go out to a bar and, you know, stumble across really good shows. I think it gets a little, especially now with like how much expensive shows are and stuff, like tickets in like Manhattan can be a little outrageous and it feels a little bit more like commercial or like gimmicky. But I think if you know the right places to find a bar that you really like, there's always like good stuff that comes through, but you just kind of have to know where it is.
Yeah, I feel like a lot of places, or at least the bigger cities, you know, they're like overcharging people to go see local acts. And then it's hard for the local acts. I'm like, bro, like it's hard to hustle like 50 of your friends to see a show. And then if the other bands aren't working as hard as you, then it's like, we're just playing for the same 50, 60 people that have already seen us. And I look like an asshole because...
Yeah, no, exactly.
Honestly, so I'm really more annoyed with the venues than I am the labels. Mm. Because everything, just the pay to play, even you know, I'm friends with people that have do like national touring, but with their label, it's like, dude, it's like 15, 20 grand to open. And it's like, who the fuck has 15, 20 grand literally to open when we're trying to get some, like, I'd rather play and just find out everyone hates us, but at least give me a shot to figure it out.
Yeah. Yeah. You know? It's backwards. It's gotten bad in that sense. I definitely have noticed that shift here.
And then the venue's like, we're going to take 10-20% of your sales. Right. I'm like, bro, we're already fucking poor. Right?
Like, I'm flattered that you think the money, like, on a flat. Right. You know? Right.
Again, so I told you I'm a negative person. I just, like,
at least you back it up. You're not just, you have reasons.
Well, there's reasons why, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. I think it's refreshing, to be honest, and to hear, like, the bullshit that some people say about these things. Like, oh, it's all just a great experience. It's like, no.
It's a great experience. It sucks. But it's like, it's kind of like, how, like, a lot of kids, like, using, like, the numbing cream for the tattoos. I'm like, no, you fucking soldier on and you just fucking bear it. Because then afterwards you're like, yeah, I fucking did that.
That's a great analogy. I think it's refreshing to hear. Well, cool. And then my last question, if you had to give an album title for your music career so far, what would you name it?
The only thing that's resonating is when we were doing the video and just the songs in general, someone was like, funeral attire. Cause like, it's like saying goodbye to things. It's kind of horror cheesy, but like, yeah, I guess funeral attire. It's saying goodbye to stuff. And at least you look nice.
Love it. That's a good one. That sounds like it could be.
That could be an emo band in 2025. I don't know.
We're going to see it on like a lineup for a festival next year. Well, awesome. Thank you so much for your time. This is an exciting time for you. You know, I'm rooting for you guys, and I can't wait to see what's to come. Excited to hear the songs that are coming out.
Thank you so much, Julia. And thank you. And of course, you know what? I was late today. I would do LA thing.
Good. We'll let it at one slide. You're good.
Right. Have a great day.
Love is falling, laid to waste just as big.